All right, perfect, cool. Wow, there's not a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of seats available now that the kids are gone, right? I need to do another count. Last time I counted, we were 52% children, so we were outnumbered. Judging by the seats, I bet it's probably. Arm yourselves. Make sure you put the Good Friday service on your calendars this year. That's kind of new for River. We've never done anything like it. And we're still figuring out what we want to do because it's our first time and we frankly have time to juggle and make, you know. But really believe that it's going to be an opportunity to connect with just the awe of Jesus and that act of love that he did on the cross, you know. And Resurrection Sunday is it's still on the calendar as well. So Easter will be have a regular church service. This will be different. So in case you've ever gone to another service where they just regurgitate what they're going to do on Sunday, that's not this. All right. Right. And I forget the exact time. We're going to have to just go to Rachel because she's the one who actually knows this stuff. I just work here. All right, talking about God's voice, I think we should pray first. Lord, we want to hear you, and we want to develop the skill of listening. Lord, we understand that it's only by your grace that you speak to our hearts, that the Holy Spirit within us confirms within our heart that we're your son, we're your daughter. And Lord, life without your voice is so just open to our own confusion. And we don't want to live in that place. You're not the author of confusion. You're not a God of uncertainty. You are who you are. And you're a very clear communicator. We worship you for that. So Lord, teach us, train us, make us even more hungry to live by your voice. And God, in everything that's discussed, may the Holy Spirit just bring glory and honor to you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So his voice is my choice, is the series we're in. It's a choice to hear God because, you know, frankly, just like any other relationship, someone can speak to you. It's your choice whether or not you're going to tune in and listen to that or whether you're going to just like let that blow right by your brain as you're thinking other thoughts and being distracted, right? Okay. We talked about Mark 4:18 last week. It's the only verse I'm going to actually review on, where we covered the parable of the sower. And as Jesus was speaking about the word, you know, the seed being planted, we said, yeah, the context of that conversation was salvation, right? Where the word of God is planted in someone's heart and then they come to Christ, right? But the way we come to Christ through the word, it's not like, okay, now I'm done with my word, right? I'm saved, I'm in, right? We live by that word, right? We live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Yes? And so we can take this context of communication from Jesus' story that the seed that fell among the thorns represents those or others who hear God's word. Let's just say that's his voice speaking into every area of our life, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, the desire for other things, and so no fruit is produced. And we're talking about, you know, Jesus said, I only do the things or say the things that I see or hear my Father doing, right? He lived by connection to the Father, telling him what to do, when to do it, what to say, what not to say, right? So he modeled for us the lifestyle of every believer to walk by and live by the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, yes? And the challenge to that lifestyle is quite American. It's worry, it's wealth, the desires for other things, right? And what that adds up is we're hearing God's voice in our life, but it's not changing us. It's not producing fruit. It's not transforming us because we're only really half committed to what he has to say, right? And we know what that life is like, right? I mean, maybe it's a season for many of us that we've been through, but we all know those seasons where we were very, very committed to making sure we were in the discipline of seeking God, but not in the fruit production, the surrender, the transformation, right? Because that's messy. Transformation often interferes with my worry cycle and my ability to make money and chase money and all the desires that I have. How about you? Right? It just does. So we're talking about his voice and that his voice is unmistakable. I don't know how long this actual sermon will go, as far as I might break it out over several weeks, right? But we're just going to take it one piece at a time almost like a teacher here. I'm going into teacher mode. And we're just going to break down all the various ways God speaks to us. We'll look at them through scripture, and then we're going to talk about, like, maybe some of us will have testimonies. If not, I'll have a testimony of, like, a time that God talked to me in that way. And maybe you'll say, oh, I recognize that, and this is the time that he talked to me and the fruit of that, right? So I welcome those kinds of testimonies. I also welcome them to be 1.5 minutes or less, right? If you can say, you know, it's been a long time, or I've been asking God to speak to me and I just haven't been hearing him, or, you know, I've been, you know, you got all these, like, excuses why he's not there, right, or not speaking. I'd like to challenge you to reread Matthew 7:7-10 with me, and we'll just put it on the screen here. And it says, keep on asking, this is Jesus speaking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep seeking and you will find. Can you say will? Will is a promise, right? Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. If your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? No. And if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not, right? And I'd be thrilled if my children asked for fish. You know, so on one hand, Jesus is saying, hey, we desire and live by the voice of God even more than bread itself. And the other is, you know, hey, parents, if your kids are asking you for bread, right, would you give them something else? There's a connection, right? I'm asking for your voice, Father. I'm asking. And if you're in that rut where you're like, but I just don't hear him, it's time to back off and say, but you know what? If I seek him, he will honor that. Right? He will. Or you're going to have to stand before him on the, you know, as he's on the throne, little old you looking up at big old him and say, you know what? I think you were a liar. Because I asked you to speak and you did it. How's that going to fly? Let me know how that goes. Right? And he'll be like, you know what? There was some lure of wealth. There was some worry. There was some chasing the other desires that got a little bit in the way. Would you like me to put them on the screen? Right? Okay. The other thing we have to remember, Hebrews 11:6, and I'm just kind of loading up the shotgun before we fire, but it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him, here you go. This is when you're seeking his voice. First, you must believe that he exists. Hello, are you there?
Yep.
And that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Or earnestly seek him. He rewards that, right? So there's no way you can say, God, I need to hear you, and him not reward you. He's a God of relationship. If he wasn't, he would not have created you. He would have not created humanity, right? For some of you animal lovers, you're like, why didn't he just stop with the animals? No crazy cat ladies in here? Okay. John 15:5-7, Jesus said, I am the vine and you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Well, I wonder what that looks like. What does it look like to be, you know, me and him and me? I'm trying to picture what exactly he's talking about. Well, good. Let's read on. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away as a useless branch and withers. Okay, I'm interested. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned, right? You're useless if he's not in you and you're not in him. Okay, I'm sold. Tell me how to do that. Let's look at the next verse. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. My words. Did you catch that? Sometimes we like to, especially in our older, like, King Jamesy thinking, if we're talking like word, we capitalize it, right? He decided to do that, by the way, right? Because in the original language, there was no separation between hearing God's voice and reading God's voice. And then, you know, English people came along and said, you know, we need to capitalize it when it's talking about the Bible. And, I just want to say Jesus would, like, put an S on it just in case. He was looking 2,000 years into the future and said, you know what? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, this is more than just your Bible, although your Bible is extremely important, right? 2 Timothy 3:16, right? It's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it cuts between the soul and the spirit, and it shows us who we really are, right? I mean, the word, I'm not discounting the word at all. If you can't live by the word, you're lost. However, Jesus was saying far more beyond that. You have to live by my words. They have to remain in you. You have to seek my voice. You have to not just pour out your heart on me, but let me pour my heart out on you, and then you can ask for anything you want, and it will be granted.
Wait a minute. My prayers don't always get answered. I don't have 100% hit rate.
Well, that's because, you ready? When the Holy Spirit has real clear communication in your heart, you begin to let him lead the prayer, and so you're not even asking for the stuff that's not on his agenda. Right? You surrender it before it even comes out of your mouth. You're seeking, Lord, lead my prayer, right? You have no need that anyone teach you is what the Bible says, right? And then also the Holy Spirit teaches us how we should pray, for we don't even know how to pray as we ought, right? But he intercesses through us. So what you're doing is you're joining the Holy Spirit in the things he's interceding for us for, and then as your voice combines his voice, you're echoing back to him what he's saying to you. His words are in you, your words are in him, and now you're asking for the things that he, right? And now it makes perfect sense why you're getting everything you wanted. You're asking for, you're praying for, right? Not what you wanted. Yay! It reminds me of what we read in Mary's little discussion last week when the angel said, you're going to have a son. I know you're young. I know you're not married, but this son's going to change the world. He's going to be the Messiah. And she echoed back, may the things you have said unto me happen just as you have said. It's her prayer was, I hear you, and I pray that you do it in me. And God answered the prayer. Cool, right? She became pregnant with something, a promise, right? Okay. So God will often communicate to us in unfolding experience, okay? Just remember this. It might sound complex that he's unfolding things over time or over a series of conversations you might have with him, but it's really not complex, okay? God is not a God of complexity. In fact, his genius is that he's so simple at communicating, okay? One of the challenges we'll have, though, is that his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so when we ask a question, it's like levels deep, right? And so he's going to bring us on a journey oftentimes to unfold this truth to us, okay? So don't be disgusted or discouraged if you're asking and maybe you're only getting parts of what you're researching the Holy Spirit for an answer, you know what I mean? Just let it unfold. He's got a plan. He's really good at this. He is a great communicator, and anytime you feel yourself saying, I don't believe that, I don't feel that, all evidence stands against that, remind yourself and thank him for being a clear communicator and an easy person to listen to. That will fight back against that negative attitude that will try to rise up and dominate you. You with me? Okay. If you have to stand up and you can do that. I'm good with it. How do we know God's speaking to us? We either hear it, we see it, or we feel it most of the time. I'm sure there's more, and you're going to tell me other things. And then, of course, you read it, right? He just comes alive in the Word. I'm not going to teach on hearing God's voice in the Word because that's the whole purpose of the Word, and if you're missing it at that level, I'm sorry. No teaching will save you. Right? If you can't hear God speaking to you when you read this, right? All right. I would like to encourage us to bring notebooks to church, okay? This is not my idea, but I am completely in love with this idea. I had breakfast with a local pastor. He's out of Merrimack. This dude is awesome. He's also from Florida. And he was like, so what have you guys been talking about lately? And we're like, hearing God's voice. He's like, that's exactly what we're doing. And so we were comparing notes and what we're doing. And he's like, you know what I made my folks do? I made them bring notebooks to church. And the whole purpose is to take a small piece of the service to actually ask the Lord to speak to them right now and write down what you have to say. And what he said is you have to write it down. You can't just like remember it, because you need to show him the respect that you honor and appreciate what he's talking to you about right now. So write it down. And then in the service, he actually gives a little bit of time for people to express, read back if it's relevant to the group and if it's a blessing to all what they heard the Lord say. And I'm like, that's genius. Right? I mean, that is church. If you can't hear him, if you can't share and communicate back what he said to you, you know, I'd have to ask, are you growing, right? So this is really challenging me to want to challenge you so that we all collectively grow together. If you come and you don't have anything, no pressure. Please don't run, hide, or make something up.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily need to be during the teaching portion.
Correct.
But if God is speaking to you during worship, mm-hmm. Right, maybe that's like the language of your heart.
Yep.
And more comes to you from God's voice during that time than another time.
Yes, perfect. My point was not to like try to manufacture. My point is to just make sure that we, like any other school, would have a little bit of homework and a little bit of work in worksheet, work in the game, so that we're learning. Yeah, I know. Nobody likes work, right? Ephesians 4:11 talks about how pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets, they exist for the purpose of equipping the body to do the work of ministry. And if Jesus modeled for us a life where I only do the things that the Father is doing, and I'm trying to equip you to do ministry, you know, the first assumption in order to do that is that you have to be able to hear his voice to know what to do and what not to do, when to volunteer, when not to volunteer, right? Right? And so for me to be an effective pastor in this case, I have to teach you to hear God's voice. And in fact, I pray and desire that every one of you hear his voice better than I ever could. So I want to see you go far with this. You know what I mean? I want you people to be a people who just know his voice. Like, if anybody in town knows that church on the hill, they're like, those people are the weird ones. They hear God's voice. Right? Right? They're scary. No, but they're exciting, and they're like, they know his heart. They're just not like reading me stuff and trying to convince me. They're just telling me what he's saying, and it's amazing. Right? Yeah. So we'll just start with seeing, okay? So sometimes the Lord will speak to us in an open vision where with your eyes, you're not even seeing what's in front of you anymore. You're seeing something else. It might be the thing you're seeing, like, I see the church right now. I see all of you, but I also happen to see an angel, right? Something, right? That happens throughout Scripture. You might see the open vision where it's like John went through. He didn't even know if he was on the earth or in heaven. He had no idea. It was so real. What he was seeing with his eyeballs was pretty much this, and what he was actually seeing was heaven or a situation that the Lord was playing out for him, right? That's open vision, right? And then you can also have the other one where he's showing you in, for lack of a word, mind's eye, but please don't think I'm not committing to that. He shows you something and it's not with your eyeballs that you see it. It's with your heart. Okay? All right. He can reach across our soul and into our physical experience, right? Sometimes you'll see a scene. Sometimes you'll see just a picture. Don't think you're crazy. If we live by faith, right, we have to walk in this possibility that if he shows you something, you say it. And sometimes when you're you write it down or you basically accept it. If you stop and you trip on that, wait a minute, I just saw an apple and I don't know what to do with that apple. And then is this you, God? Is this you? He's like, just say it or just write it down or just accept it. Okay, fine, I see an apple. Then he's like, that means blah, 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 right? I'm producing fruit in your life. Oh, okay. I get it, right? What do you mean by that, right? No, accept that. Okay, I'm going to just challenge you in the area of, I'm going to stretch you in the area, I'm going to send you in the, I'm going to, right? And it was like, if you hadn't just accepted the first thing without tripping all over yourself and said, this doesn't work, I just seen an apple, right? Just let him cross that barrier, okay? All right, let's do some scriptures because I don't want anybody to be confused here. He uses natural things at times. So actually, a natural thing that you see, like the Lord will point that out to you, and that natural thing will then be an illustration he will speak to you from, okay? So Genesis 15, 5 through 6. There we go. Don't read ahead. The Lord took Abraham, or Abram, outside, and he said to him, look up in the sky. Count the stars if you can. You get it? Natural thing. Look, what do you see? Stars. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham believed the Lord and counted him as righteous because of his faith. It was just that simple. The Lord is like, what do you see now? Right? I see stars. Great. Well, why couldn't you just say to me, without making me leave my tent and go look up at the stars, why could you just say, hey, you're going to have a lot of kids? Because the emphasis he wanted to make was so big, he wanted to transcend Abraham's doubt. He wanted to blow Abraham's mind, and he wanted to say, hey, how many stars do you see? And countless. I couldn't even begin to describe how many stars I see. Yeah, that's how many kids I'm going to give you. So Abraham didn't just get it in here. He got it in here. Mind was blown. He had to accept it with his heart. Huh? Abundance. Yes. Otherwise, it's like, hey, you're going to have 7 kids. Holy cow. I need a bigger van. Right? He just bypassed all that arguing and logic and just went straight for the impossible. I'm going to do this. Do you believe me or not? And then Abraham had to choose, it says right here, to believe or not, right? He is going to say things to you that is so outlandish, and I think we covered this 2 or 3 weeks ago. He's the God who calls those things that are not as though they are. He's going to give you dreams, visions, plans, descriptions, call you something that you just feel so unworthy and incapable of being. And he's going to say it to you and just watch you fill those shoes. And for Abraham, it was father of many nations, right? Whoa. That's an easy one, right? Okay. I'll take that as a yes. Great. Sometimes I think I hear God better than I hear you people, right? All right, so the other one that I described to you, sometimes it's a picture or a scene, a movie playing out in your mind's eye. You're seeing it in your heart. And that's an example here with Jeremiah 18, where the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah, and he said, go down to the potter's shop. Oh, I just jumped ahead. Sorry. This is a physical thing that God showed him. I'm so sorry. I'm an idiot. All right, go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there. All right, so now I want you to go see a physical thing, Jeremiah. So he did, and I found the potter working at the wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, so he crushed it into a lump of clay again, started over, and then the Lord gave me this message, right? I saw the physical thing. I saw a guy just smash a jar that he was in Play-Doh and start over, and the Lord said, oh, Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to this clay, right? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. It was a physical thing, so I gave you 2 examples. I just got lost a minute ago. But here's the point. He'll show you a physical thing, and then he'll give you an explanation that makes sense. All right. The second one, the movie or the picture that comes out in your mind would be the Jeremiah 1, verses 9 to 15, where the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I've put my words in your mouth, and today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy, overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. All right, that's his calling. That's his destiny. And the Lord said to me, look, Jeremiah, what do you see? But there's no description throughout this part of Jeremiah that he was seeing a vision or anything. It was just like, so I was hanging out, and then the Lord just kind of said, what do you see? And I replied, I see a branch from an almond tree. That's it. That's all I see. Right? We're not talking about like an open vision where it's like, I see heaven and I see angels and I see golden streets and, right? The river of life, right? I just see this branch. It's just a picture right here in my heart. I see almond branch. What does that mean, right? And by accepting it, calling it out, repeating it back, just, you know, the Lord said, that's right. It means that I'm watching and I will certainly carry out my plans. Then the Lord spoke to me again. Well, now what do you see, right? I see a pot of boiling water spilling up from the north. That's it, just a pot, water, that's it. I don't know what it means. But he had to accept it and he had to speak it out. And by repeating it back to the Lord, right, it was a chance for the Lord to then say, okay, so you accept what you see, you've described it, you've got it. Yes, terror from the north will boil out on the people of this land, right? I'm calling the kingdoms against you, right? It was a, what do you see? This is what I see. Great, this is what I'm going to do. Kind of relationship going on. Some of you, that is going to be the way God is just naturally speaks to you. Everybody kind of has different ways of hearing, you know, although nobody's limited to one. I'm going to call all of them out, put them all over the table, and, you know, you're just going to kind of find. I tend to do like these over here, right? Some of you, I think, Karen, we were talking about this. Like when you're praying, the Lord then puts a picture of something up in your mind and you're like, you have to pray that peace out. And until you're done praying that peace out, there's no more pictures or no more things coming to the mind, right? Into the spirit, man. And when you say it and you pray it all out and you feel like the Holy Spirit says, yep, I'm good with that, then you get the next peace, right? Anybody got anything to add to that as far as that topic and how that might be helpful to another person? Yes.
So this morning when we were doing praise and worship.
If for the internet's sake, I'll just do this. With the hour late, I'm sure there's more people online now than ever before.
The Lord often speaks to me.
Oh. Hey, Lenny, you mind if we handheld? Thanks.
Years ago, I used to come to early morning prayer, and I really should start coming again to early morning prayer and pray with Daryl. And I know I do have to do that. And I'm sorry, Lord, I really do need to do that. And I had a vision that the Lord would knock down this wall. And all of the churches in the area went out and started taking all of their names off of the boards of, you know, their church, and they replaced it with the name the church. And this morning, when I don't remember your name, I'm sorry, Nikki was singing, I had that same vision again this morning. I didn't see people going out and taking their names off of the church, but I saw the Lord knock that wall down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that day. That was,
I know you too.
That was cool because while you were praying and I was praying, I was seeing a different picture but the same thing. It wasn't an open vision with my eyes. It was going on. I was watching a movie. I was driving Amherst in the loop and we're passing all the churches that we know and pray for as we go, and their names were all taken off and they replaced it with the capital church. That's all they said. And us too. Like everybody just said church, and it was as if we were admitting we're all the same. We're all together in this. There's no competition. We are just the church. There's no, right? It was really cool, and it was going on as you were seeing it. I was seeing it. We were praying together and asking for that. It was pretty wild. I love it when God does that, you know? Makes sense. Right. Very cool, huh? Yeah. So we talked about the way he can speak to us with natural things. We talked about how we can see it with like inner heart. Sometimes he will give open visions, and I'll give you a couple scriptures. I don't know if I'll read all of them, but Acts 10, verse 1 through 6. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was captain, I always want to say, of the Planet of the Apes. of the Italian regiment. he was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Okay, Cornelius. Cornelius said, yeah, what is it? Sir, and the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa, okay? Think of this. Think of the detail here. Summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying with another guy named Simon, a tanner, who lives near the seashore. Now you see why I'm asking you to get a journal and write this stuff down? Right? I mean, what if God was to be so specific with you and you're like, okay, so there's a dude named Simon Peter, Jabba, another dude named Simon the Tanner by the seashore, right? I mean, there's a lot going on there. Yeah, you miss one of those, you might be wandering all over Joppa looking for that guy, right? A guy named Tanner, and he's playing Simon. But you get what I'm getting at, right? I mean, he just saw this angel, and the angel was so real that the angel could speak to him very directly and clearly. And just don't wipe that out. Don't say, oh, that doesn't happen today. Well, if you say that, then of course you're going to prove that. It's called self-fulfilling prophecy, right? You're just going to make sure that if something like that were ever going to happen, that you just refused it before it ever could. Yeah. Okay? So just keep your eyes open. I love this story because this is a double vision thing. So while next verse 9 through 13, same chapter, the next day, Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town. Peter, this is the dude that Simon Peter that Cornelius is looking for, went up on a flat roof to pray, and it was about noon, and he was hungry. And while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance, my Bible says. It was an open vision. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by four corners. And in the sheet were all kinds of animals, reptiles, birds. And the voice said, get up, Peter, kill and eat them, right? So not only can we have a vision where it's like, I don't see anything right now. In Peter's vision, I'm sure he's still seeing the rooftop and he's seeing the world around him. But with his physical eyes, he sees this sheet folded up by the corners coming down, opening up, and animals all coming out, right? That happens. Anybody got a 30-second example of that in your life? Yeah? Where's Mike? Mike! Oh, here we go.
Julie and I used to be youth group leaders, and we were at Monadnock Bible Conference. And we were at a time of prayer, and I remember looking up and looking over at Julie, and I actually saw her glorified body, just looking at her face. I don't share this with everyone. I share it with my family, mm-hmm. church family, amen. I've shared it with just a few people, but just to see Julie's beauty and glory, mm-hmm. I don't understand why. I have some hints as to why God showed me that, but unbelievable. We're all beautiful in heaven, let me tell you.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, husband means gardener, and you're just sort of, you're coming alongside Julie, and you're helping her develop fruit for the Lord. So seeing the finished picture is awesome. You know what I mean? Because you can celebrate every milestone that, you're not at all embarrassed, are you? Yeah, yep.
And I remember I could not look at her for very long.
Really?
There was just a holiness, a radiance. I had to turn away.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Very cool. Anybody else? Oops. All right. Everybody is too personal? Yes. I don't want to stretch it out. I just wanted to give folks a chance to, you know, maybe share.
This hasn't happened yet, but I had a vision that the Vatican would call for a convocation of all those who believed in Jesus and who led congregations or church bodies. And they were all seated in their seats, thrones, if you will, in the Basilica of St. Peter and St. Paul. And they were going to discuss what they were going to do to make Jesus become real throughout the whole world. And each one of these leaders came in with different languages, and they had translators, and there were secretaries who had communications and sitting next to them. And all of the secretaries were cardinals.
Cool. So now you have something to pray for, right? That's awesome. I'll share one, but I think it's time to probably share it publicly. I've told a few. I think, Scott, Adam, I told you during a New Year's party. I can't remember, was it this year or last year?
Yeah.
Well, I don't share these things too often now.
It was last year.
It was last year, so a year from this January. Yeah. So I had seen this vision, and it was so real to me. And now just picture the timing of what we just said, and things will begin to make sense to you from this perspective. But we were worshiping in the church here, and I remembered seeing people on the stage that were not people I knew, people I didn't know, can I say it that way? And there were people that were not on the stage that should have been on the stage during worship, okay? Within the congregation, there were many of you I recognized, but there were faces I didn't recognize in the congregation, okay? And we're worshiping, but we're not like worshiping like worship like we normally would. We were worshiping with a real sense of abandon for ourselves. We were really not a factor in the equation at all in our worship. It was, you know, just all we wanted was to love on Jesus, and every part of our expression flowed out of that desire to just love on him and worship him, right? And you remember this now, right? All right, good, because I was getting insulted. So as we're worshiping, right, the walls, the ceiling, the floor, everything of the church faded away, and heaven faded in. Okay? And as we were in the throne room of God, which is humongous, okay, like countless people as far as the eye can see, in a U-shape around the throne worshiping, and we were like, if you can imagine a grid in heaven, and River was just tiny, tiny little grid on a much bigger heaven, and we were all worshiping, like all of heaven was worshiping, and angels were dive bombing, you know, like some of them would, they would fly over an area, and they would just insert a revelation of him, just about his goodness, and it was like throwing gasoline on a fire, and that section, whoever heard that angel say something like, he is good, his goodness lasts forever, would, yeah, right, and they just began to go off on the goodness of God, but you could see everywhere where, like, the angels were doing dive bombing runs, and different pockets of all of heaven lighting up, and blah, right, it was awesome. And then, but that's not the awesome part to me, was that Jesus came from the throne and he walked right past me, all right? Because I would have been like standard position right around here, right? And he walked right past and he went down, and there was someone standing right here who, all I know his health condition was, he was terminal. I don't know what he had. But Jesus looked at me with that smile that he has, it's kind of like he's gonna go do something kind of mischievous, but it's funny. It's like, it's not bad, it's funny, and it's like, and he's so sure of himself, and he kind of like looked around and turned around and he's like, you're gonna love this. It's the look on his face, you're gonna love this. And he just grabbed the guy, and the guy was, I just know, like instantly was being healed in worship. Nobody was praying for him, just, God was just, right? And we had just entered into the song of heaven because we had abandoned ourselves. We were so not worried about the thing on earth as we were worshiping. We entered into his will be done on the earth as it is in heaven, right? And then it was as if, as the vision ended, I just saw like the end of a movie theater and it said, coming soon. And then it ended. And this was a couple of New Year's ago, and I told you guys, and I had seen it even prior to that and had kind of sat on it. And we were going through a hard time, as you can imagine. And I'm going to blow my nose. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
So at that time.
Mike. What day is it?
I just want a little confirmation about what you were talking about. During that time, Monique and I were going through exploring the Great Commission and the Scroll of Mary and how we are to birth heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. And that vision that you had is exactly that. Is through our worship, through us, you know, Christ comes down and will birth heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. And through our abundance, this is what we've been talking about in Culture of Honor last week. He gives us abundance in different areas, and we are, what did he call it? We're the distribution center.
Yes.
So in order to fulfill that vision, mm-hmm. for us to birth heaven on earth, we just need to be faithful with our abundance.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, what you were talking about, Kathy, that whole time is when we were like, oh, what's this whole Scroll of Mary thing?
Right.
So it was.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. And the other confirmation that I got, now that you've given me one, is the next Sunday in church, we were all worshiping, and as soon as worship was over, Judy and her grandson Jeremiah, you know, Judy came up to me and goes, during worship, do you know what Jeremiah was seeing? He kept interrupting me. He's like, who's that man next to Daryl? And she's like, well, that's Pastor Daryl. No, the man with the beard. Well, that's your papa. No, not papa, the man. Like standing over this shoulder. He was all white, and he had the beard, and you know.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. So that got me, it confirmed in me what I just seen that week earlier. Like, Jesus was just, I'm confirming this, you know what I mean? So why would I share that now? Because I don't share those normally. They're very personal to me. They're my fuel for why I do what I do. And if I just throw them all over the place, then, and if you poo-poo it or tell me crazy, then you're peeing in my watering hole. Right? But I'm sharing it because I feel like you are now, after what I've seen recently in the way you guys are willing to worship, you're now co-invested in this mission. Amen. And this is not faith pulling you one day to the possible. This is like, you're on your way. You're like, you're there, right? We could go so much deeper, so much farther till we are in heaven itself, if you know what I mean. Like, in his presence. Okay? So if you think we're a little bit passionate about this, you're completely wrong. We're a lot passionate about this. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Other times visions, I'll give you one more, and that's Acts 16:9. Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia to help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. So sometimes God will not just give you a straight up answer like, I want you to go to Macedonia. He'll show you something. And in this case, Paul saw the passion of a man crying out to show me the good news, show me the gospel, show me, I need this, I'm broken, right? And that drove him with passion, not just obedience. Yeah.
Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
So some people say that God's not active anymore and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And God's the same yesterday, today, is tomorrow. And he's shown visions like he has in, you know, the Bible, throughout the Bible, with everyone. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so excited to hear that he's doing visions through people still. And it's like, I want more of that to see what people have experienced from God, and that he's talking to us still, and he's leading us,
yeah,
you know, to his promised lands.
Amen. Amen. And if you ask, he's given it to you, right?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow, we are out of time, huh? I lost time. So I will close it down. Let me draw a note on my paper that we got this far and no further.
Sorry.
It's not your fault. All right, cool. Are you guys going to come back next week, or should I put a pause on it and teach on something else while you're gone?
Yeah.
You'll be on 9? Okay, great. To be continued. Yeah, coming soon. Can we all just pray for just a minute today, as a group, that God would begin to like turn up our communication with Him and His and our ability to hear Him. You know. Can we not put those slides up? I want to save those. They're pretty good, and I want to save them for another day. No, I don't want to distract from this prayer. This is the prayer that I would really like for us to pray today. That we would know Him, that we would hear His voice, that we would know His heart so well, that we would become that distribution center Adam talked about to the world. That the world needs the voice of God just like they need the message of the gospel, because it's all the same thing, right? And we want to present a living gospel, not just Jesus died for you, but He died for you so that He could have relationship with you. And relationship looks like this. Talks. And you right? We have to be a people who know His heart and know His voice, not just what the Bible says about Him, but also what it's like to practically live that day by day, right? You with me? Okay, so I'm going to pass the mic. We don't have to make this long, but I really want to just hear us as a body. I want the Lord to hear us as a body, united, crying out for more of His voice in our life. Would anybody want to start that prayer off? Cool, I was getting concerned nobody wanted it.
Dear Lord, we thank You.
It's on.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day to just come together and worship You. We just lift Your name up high and just scream out for joy. We ask that You would just draw us in daily to communicate with You, to just spend time with You. Just humble us, God. Quiet us, quiet our lives down so that we can just stop and spend time together. That You would fill us, fill our cups up, and work in us, and You are faithful. You're a God that said, if you follow My commandments, and I will be here with you no matter what. And we just trust You, God, and we're excited to go out into this world and just preach this good news, God. We thank You, in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Thank You, God, in Jesus' name. Anyone want to add to that?
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for today. I thank You for the word that You gave to Daryl for this morning, God. God, I pray that You would just give us a fire to spread Your word, to be Your messengers, to be able to spread Your kingdom to the people around us, God.
Yeah.
God, I pray that You just give us the wisdom and Your word, not ours, but Your word to be able to spread to people, that we would be a light in the darkness, a salt of the earth.
Yes.
God, I pray this in Your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank You.
Lord, I just pray that You would pour Your anointing right now on every person in this place. Father God, please anoint our minds and our hearts and our spirits. Anoint us, Lord. Pour Your Spirit upon us, God, and rise up within us. And Lord, I just pray that You would anoint all of our giftings. Everyone here has a gift that You've placed in our hearts. And I pray You would pour Your anointing on our gift, Father God, that we could start to operate in it so that we would become whole. that as we operate together, we would see you, Father God, start to move forward, that we could be your hands and your feet and your voice to minister, Lord. Father, pour your anointing on this place. Lord, bring revival. Lord, pour your anointing on all of us, Jesus. We just ask you by your Spirit, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and to fill this place, to come and to fill our hearts with more of you, Lord, that we could be, that we could go forward and do a powerful, mighty work for you. Lord, speak to our hearts, that we could hear your voice, that we could hear your Spirit speak to us, Jesus. What a privilege it is to hear you, God. Thank you that you would come and speak to us, that you would choose to dwell in us. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our souls, with all of our spirits, with all of our bodies. Jesus, we just declare today that we love you. With everything that is within us, we love you. We love you, and we praise you, and we bless your holy name, and we worship you, and we ask you, Father, to pour out your Spirit on this place, that it would be so filled with you, Lord, that people would come in droves to come and to receive healing and to come and to know you. Open this church, Lord, and open our hearts that we could do a mighty, powerful work for you. Lord, do it. Break down the walls. Break down that wall and do a mighty work, that there's no name on our churches, that we are all one in your name. Lord, bring us together, that we could do a powerful, mighty work for you. There is no one and nothing that is like unto you, O God. You are mighty, and you are God, and you are powerful. Nothing can compare to you, Jesus. Nothing. And we worship you, and we bless you, and we praise you, and we love you. So fall on us, Spirit of God. Fall on us and pour your anointing on all of us. Anoint us. Anoint us that we may hear your voice, that we may be obedient to walk forward one step at a time, Lord, into the anointing and into the place that you are calling us to go, that we could go, Father God, and we could make a difference, that we would be a light in this dark, awful time. But you are the light. Shine through us, Jesus. Yes, may we hear your voice. And yes, may we be obedient to walk in it. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you would just choose to speak to us. What a precious gift. God, we just love you. I love to hear your voice. I'm so grateful for you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. And thank you, Lord, for loving us so much, that you would draw us to you so that we can go forward and do a mighty work, that you, my Jesus, my Lord, my precious Jesus, may be glorified through us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes, God, we don't want to live just by our own knowledge, our own wisdom. God, we want to be led of you. Lord, we don't want to just preach to people out of an understanding of how to perfectly present the gospel message. We want to live it and speak it from a relationship of a God that we talk to often. And we need wisdom and guidance just to live, even in our family, to be fathers and mothers that you would desire, to be employees in the workplace who, Lord, just live communication with the Father. We live the gospel. And so to that end, God, just really tune in our ears and show us as we progress, Father, how to make the things of this life dim compared to knowing you. Yeah, lock our hearts onto your voice in us. Looking forward to what you're going to share in this week ahead. I mean, I just pray, Father, that people experience everything we talked about and everything we have yet to talk about, Father, that there'll be fresh stories, not stories from 10 years ago, fresh stories, Father. Fresh. New wine. In Jesus' name. Yes.
I normally don't do this. I want you to know, we're seeing a new start here today. We really are. I don't know if you realize what you're experiencing right here, right now. There is literally, I mean, we talk about something being birthed. I don't like Christianese, but I'm telling you what, something's happening right now, right here in the spirit. And each person sitting in this room, and I mean each person, how many people here feel like God doesn't use me? Go ahead, raise your hand. Because God doesn't use you. How many people feel today, right here, right now, that God doesn't use you? Okay? I'm telling you, you're going to get used in a good way. Not the way the world uses people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. Amen.
I'm telling you, when we use the wrong terms, we struggle with the right terms.
Right.
God wants to show you how much he values you individually. The amount of love that the Almighty has for us individually is beyond what we understand, and you're going to get it starting today.
Amen.
There's going to be the kind of unity amongst the people of the Most High that we have been praying for. I'm speaking it forth right now in the name of Yehoshua.
Yeah. Amen. I'm glad you did. Excellent. Awesome. All right, you have the final word, though, because our kids are going nuclear. I've been seeing signs.
I promise that it's the last word. And it's not really even a word. I always get the last word. Yeah, right.
No mumbling. We don't have time for that.
Anyway, this is a serious note. My favorite scripture is, my sheep will hear my voice, and the voice of another I will not listen to. But this is... goes along with what you just said. I just really feel like there's some people in this room who might feel like they've done so many things that they're ashamed of, or that they feel bad in their life for, that they think that God just couldn't forgive them, that they can't even forgive themselves for. But I just want to encourage you that he loves you and he hears your cries. And just the fact that you feel so bad for those things, he knows you've repented, and you need to repent and believe that you can hear from God, because you can. Because not one sheep that belongs to him can't hear from God.
Amen. 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 Get some. Yep. Jonah heard God's voice in the belly of a whale after rebellion. So, if he can do it during rebellion, yes. Amen. Amen. You guys are dismissed. Thank you, everyone. And bring your journals next week. Bring journals.